What's good, Daddy-O, and welcome to Body Bag Podcast. I'm Chris Thomas, and with me, as always, Broke Rider Dave.
All right.
And we're time traveling back to the 70s, or apparently Matthew McConaughey's house, if you're going by Dave's impression.
You don't know what movie that's from?
I just know All Right. It just is kind of like a Matthew McConaughey thing.
That's from his scene in Dazed and Confused.
Oh.
About the 70s. It's all I know about the 70s is from that movie.
Maybe I should watch it then.
You've never seen Dazed and Confused?
The 70s and the 70s like aesthetic and stuff has never really been my go-to when it comes to movies.
That's a good movie.
And it's nothing against the 70s, but yeah. I mean, aside from a few choice movies, you know, Halloween,
Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
Black Christmas,
and like Dazed and Confused, that's about all I got from the 70s.
And just like maybe a few like other movies. I don't know why. Like, I watch more black and white movies than I do 70s movies.
It's a weird decade.
A lot of experimental filmmaking was going on with that, which is actually something we'll get into with our versus today being strictly 70s movies.
Yes.
And we already agreed before recording that we can go with mine. My pick was Last House on the Left and yours was The Omen.
The Omen, yeah.
Only one of them I've seen, and that's The Omen. I have not seen Last House on the Left, although I did see the remake in 2009, I want to say.
Yeah, the 2009 remake, yeah. That I accidentally watched instead of The House Next Door that one time, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, God. Oh, both rough movies to watch.
Now, we're going to try to do something a little different when it comes to this breakdown. I think we spent a little too much time, like, when I was re-reviewing the Shake, Rattle, and Roll, I was like, you know, sometimes it can get a little, like, all over the place if we're just doing, like, a long, like, 20-minute, like, and then this happened, and then this happened.
Yeah.
I figure, why don't we do, like, just a quick 5-minute summary instead of, in lieu of our one-sentence sum-up, we do a 5-minute summary, and then the majority of the time we'll just talk about certain scenes, breakdowns, and what have you.
Yeah.
So, why did I pick this movie? Because I've never seen it, but I know it's Wes Craven.
Yes. It's one of his few works I haven't seen either.
It is his very first, if I'm not mistaken, directorial debut.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
And
he follows us with Hills Have Eyes.
Yes, and starting with a budget of $90,000. So going into this, I was like, okay, this is a director's, you know, we're not going to be getting prime
Wes Craven.
We're going to be getting like him just starting out with a limited budget. And I only knew about one or two scenes from like a decades old Bravo's 100 scariest movie moments of all time.
Yeah.
All I knew was that like there was a certain scene that even the cast members were like, yeah, when we recorded that scene, we had to like all go our separate ways and just like we had to all be alone because that scene was just disturbing.
Yeah.
Which is a scene we'll get to in the breakdown. But like I said, I've only seen the remake, which I thought was okay. It came out in 2009, which had a lot of like same era as like Black Christmas remake.
Yeah.
Where a lot of storytelling was substituted for kind of like gritty, gorish kind of stuff. And I'll do a slight comparison at the end. But I'll go ahead with the short summary here. And then we'll just kind of see if this works out well. Then we'll do The Omen and maybe this will be the new way that we start breaking down movies. Yeah. Short summary here. On her 17th birthday, Mary and her friend Phyllis are planning on going to a concert. I believe the concert was named Bloodlust. As teenagers do, you know, they got to get the festivities going.
Yeah, exactly.
What you need, and it's the 70s, so you need your weed and you need some booze. Yeah, before going, she says bye to her folks. They give her this little peace necklace. It's like, happy birthday, honey. Go on, have fun. You know, don't let that Phyllis get you into any trouble.
Yeah.
So they go looking for some weed. They find it, but unfortunately, the person that they find it is the last person that you should be looking to buy weed from. They get it from this guy named Junior, who is a part of a violent gang who was on the run from the police. Prison escapees, and they basically kidnap Mary and Phyllis. Now, let me tell you about the gang here. The gang consists of four people. You got Krug, who's the sadistic murderer and rapist and the leader of the gang. You got Junior, who is his heroin-addicted son, who is kind of, like, not all there mentally.
Yeah.
You got Weasel, who is a child molester and a peeping Tom. And you have Sadie, who is also a sadist and the lone female of the group, the one that all the dudes kind of, like, pass her around amongst the group, but mostly with Krug. All right, and as I said before, Junior's the least violent of the group. He's basically along just because Krug's his dad. He's abusive, and his dad's supplying him with drugs.
Yep.
Is that who I think it is?
That is our third host, the Train.
I love that. You know, it's become kind of a tradition. I need to know this guy's name. I hope that it's the same conductor every time.
Yeah.
I hope he is listening, like, over some kind of, like, snatched signal that he's doing, because somehow he knows that it's...
He knows when we're recording.
It's like 7 o'clock. Maybe the body bag's recording now.
Yeah. And there he goes.
There he goes, off to deliver some... I don't know what kind of trains you guys got over that way. What they deliver.
I mean, supply trains, and I do believe it's heading south, so...
Maybe to me.
More towards, like, Indy and then Louisville and all that stuff, so.
Well, see you, dude. Anyway, the gang kidnaps Mary and Phyllis. Next day, they drive off with Mary and Phyllis in the trunk. Car breaks down. So they decide, well, let's have a little fun. Let's take the girls out of the trunk and go out into the forest, where they proceed to humiliate, violently rape, and kill these two girls, these two teenage girls.
It's tough to watch.
It's tough to watch, and we'll break that down when we talk about choice scenes. The way that the murders essentially happen is they humiliate both of the girls. Phyllis tries to make a run for it. They catch up to her, stab her to death. Then Mary, she gets raped by Krug and then shot. And then they basically just dump her in the river.
Yeah.
Now, the river that they dump her into, they're only like 2 miles away from Mary's home.
Yeah, it's more of a lake than a river.
Yeah, it's like a lake that's...
And Mary's home's on the other side of the lake, basically.
It's within walking distance.
Yeah, it's one of the differences from the 2009 movie.
I forget exactly where they... Was it a little bit further in the remake?
No, in the remake, it's basically the same scene where she's, like, in the lake waiting, and they're shooting at her.
Oh, but she manages to make it all the way back to her home.
She manages to get across, yeah.
Yeah, because she was on the porch.
Yeah.
All right. That was in the remake. Wasn't the case in this one. She's in the lake. So they clean themselves off. They change their clothes. I guess they had like some suitable attire, I guess, to just kind of blend in. So they have suits and whatnot. And remember, their car is broken down. So they go to the nearest house.
I see.
Yeah, which is Mary's parents' place. Who at this time... They're wondering, where is our daughter? We let her go to a concert yesterday, and she's not here anymore. They've since put out a missing persons report.
Yeah.
They go over to her house, her parents' house, under the guise of, we're just some traveling salesmen. Our car broke down. Do you think that we can stay the night? Parents are like, sure. Yeah, sure, you can stay the night.
I guess, you know, 70s different time.
Yeah.
Now if someone came to my door, you're like, hey, my car broke down. Can I crash here?
No.
Are you? Out of here. No.
In fact, get off my property.
I'm gonna call the cops.
Yeah, I'm gonna call the cops, and I'm gonna flip this phone out and record you.
Yeah.
Now, throughout the festivities of the night, while the night is winding down, the mother notices that Junior is wearing a peace necklace that he got from Mary.
Yeah.
In their time in the forest, Mary was like trying to get out of here. She was trying to escape,
He tries to let her go.
She was trying to sweet talk Junior, saying, hey, come on, you're not so bad. Let me be your friend. Here, take this peace necklace. So he's wearing that. Mother notices. And not only does... And in case she didn't notice, they're actually having a conversation. The group is having a conversation about the girl that they just murdered.
Yeah. Which she... Of her. They're in Mary's room, basically.
They're in Mary's room. This is perverse.
Yeah.
And not only did they... Now, she now has seen the peace necklace. She overheard that, and she came across some bloody clothes that were in their luggage.
Yeah.
They
rush
mother,
to the lake, yeah. She yeah, they, father, they rush to the lake and find Mary's body.
Rather quickly. They rush out, find Mary's body, and then they decide amongst themselves, we're going to fuck these guys up.
They have a choice. We could call the cops, get these guys arrested, or fuck them up, yeah.
Take matters into our own hands.
Yeah.
And they take... the gang members out in the following ways. The mother tries to seduce Weasel by performing oral sex on him and then biting his penis off.
Yep.
Lets him bleed out on the floor. Junior shoots himself in the head after failing to shoot his dad, who was, like, in a struggle fighting the father. Dad basically forces, mentally kind of, like, forces his basically, son to shoot himself.
Yeah, mentally abuses him,
Sadie, she gets her throat slit by the mother, and Krug is taken out by a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Then it ends rather abruptly with the cop showing up after all of this is done. And that is the short summary. So I think that's...
cops come in like, oh no, what did you guys do?
Yeah, what did you guys do? And so you, now, yeah.
The offenders we let out were in your house and you killed them all. How could you do that?
And those cops are something that I'm going to want to talk about too.
I don't know if like the cop, if that was still like a theme, if that was like the style theme of like incompetent cops in like the movies in the 70s, but these cops sucked.
You could take these cops out and you would save about 10 minutes and the story would not change.
Yeah, basically all their scenes are just to add some runtime to this movie.
And to add some unnecessary humor.
Yeah. I feel like this is a movie that doesn't need humor.
No, there are certain scenes in this movie where, and I kind of get stylistically why West went this route, even though I don't think that it was a wise choice in my opinion. Not that I'm a director myself, but there'll be scenes where there is this messed up situation happening set against music that is supposed to be zany.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of like a running theme in West's career. He does like to add a little zany and humor into his horror movies. And I think we're seeing this being his first movie. He gets a better understanding of it later on in his career.
That's what I was going to say. Because when you watch movies like the later Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream and whatnot.
Scream's like a perfect mix of humor and horror.
Yeah, so you could tell like early on that he had an idea of a kind of style that he wanted to do. But, you know, this being his first foray into it, I don't think it was the best example of it.
No. He's still ironing some things out, so.
Which this is, you know, I would suggest watching this movie, despite, you know, whatever score I give this, I say that this is a good movie to watch just so you can see where, like, a lot of people's favorite director is Wes Craven. To just go ahead and see, oh, so this is kind of where he started and where he started honing his craft.
Yeah.
So some choice scenes. Now, we have to talk about the big scene, and that is the scene in the forest.
Yeah.
This is probably the scene that sticks with most people when they watch this.
Yeah.
As you said earlier, it's a tough watch, this what the girls go through in the forest. Yeah. I'll go ahead and just basically say what happened. The first things first, they tell, I think it was Phyllis, or no, they told Mary, go ahead and pee your pants.
Yeah.
Makes her basically urinate on herself.
Yeah.
And then they make the girls strip down naked.
Yeah.
And then basically makes, I'm going to go ahead and assume that it's that they made either Phyllis or Mary, one of them, basically go down on the other.
Yeah.
Basically, they made them do some sexual stuff. Because at one point, Phyllis had to tell Mary, just pretend like it's just us here. No one else is here. So I'm gonna assume that that is what they forced them to do.
Basically, yeah.
And I think I timed it from the time they go into the forest to the time where Mary gets shot and raped and then shot and then left in the river or lake.
Yeah.
It was about 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's a good chunk of this movie.
Which is not at all helped by the fact that inserted in this is also quick jumping to the bumbling cops.
Yeah. I understand wanting to, like, ease off the gas of showing something so horrendous. Like, hey, here's this.
Well, what I think he was trying to do was, which is going to be a spoiler, but this is kind of also my scene of the movie. Early on when Mary first sees Junior, and they're in this rundown apartment, and when they get the oh shit moment, like, oh, we just, this is not going to end well, we're in the house of some criminals right now.
Yeah.
It jumps between what's going on with them and her parents, like, setting up a surprise birthday party for her.
Yeah.
And that's good tension building because it's like this is going on, this heartwarming scene is going on while this horrific scene is going on at the same time. And I thought that was really good tension building. I think that he was just trying to keep up that same
Yeah.
thing throughout the movie. But I think it would have worked. Those cops, I swear, it's the cops. Just get rid of the fucking cops, please.
If they were like decent cops and he was building up to like build something where you're thinking like, oh, maybe the cops will get there and save these girls.
Like if they were like at the
building, but it wasn't that because
the
background music with the cops, like, yeah, these are awful cops. Yeah.
Accompanied with zany bumbling cop music.
Yeah.
Like if they were, what would have been better was if they were like while they were in the forest, maybe the cops were at the hotel where they were just at, like they were right behind them.
Yeah.
Like getting evidence and figuring out, okay, it looks like they might have been here. If they were like on their trail as it was going on, that would have been cool because it would have been like, oh, they just missed them.
Like they might say, oh, come on. And it's like, no, the cops are just sitting in the station. It's like, oh, there's escaped prisoners in the area. I heard disturbance about something happening over there. Should we check it out? I don't know.
And then they're all like on the road, and then they're on the road, like, I'm guessing their car broke down too, because they're just like on this long stretch of road. And oh, what antics they get into. They get flipped off by some teenagers. They run into this chicken farmer lady who, she wants to give them a ride, but doggone it, they're just too heavy.
Yeah.
And
what the fuck?
And they even made her like unnecessarily, like, they gave her like, you know, missing teeth and like making laugh like, ah, you gents. I'm like, oh, come on, man. This is not adding anything to anything right now.
Right. It's just pointless scenes.
Just pointless scenes.
Right. That could have been cut from the movie.
Now, but the actual torture scene. Now, I will ask you this, because this was also kind of messing with my enjoyment rating that I'm going to be getting into later. The torture, the rape, and all that business, and how long it goes. Too much, or okay? Do you think it was too much, or do you think that it was not?
Like I know my personal taste. I felt like it was too much, but it's also hard to judge.
Yeah,
because I understand, like, back in the 70s, really wanting to make a splash, first movie, just kind of pushing it to the edge as he could.
Yes.
Like, I understand his thought process for why he did it. It's just, for my personal taste,
mm-hmm.
little much.
And I will give him credit by saying, I'm sure he didn't know if he was going to be able to even make another movie after this. This is kind of his introduction into Hollywood here.
Yeah. And the first movie of this kind.
So the fact that he was like, I'm gonna have drugs, I'm going to have raping, I'm going to have torture, and it's all going to be done to teenagers.
Yeah, because this is before the slasher genre was really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because what, Halloween comes out, what, 6 years after this?
What year was this? Because isn't 1978 was Halloween,
yeah,
wasn't it?
This came out in 1972, so yeah, 6 years after this, Halloween came out, which really kickstarted the slasher genre. So this is still, I want to say pre-slasher because it was after Psycho, but
because even 6 years like later, Halloween's tamer than this.
Way tamer than this, yeah.
Because even like the, you know, if anything, the first like 2 minutes is going to show you exactly what you're in for. Because first 2 minutes, you're already getting full frontal.
Yeah,
you're getting full frontal. You're seeing Mary in the shower. It is interesting. I'm going to just say this statement here, just because it's something I was thinking about. Now, I don't know if this was the intention or not, because it's during the whole hippie era.
Yeah.
You know, free love, drugs, and all that business. And you're basically seeing two different versions of love and drugs.
Yeah.
With Mary and Phyllis.
More like the conventional, what you think of when you think of, like, peace hippie and love and drugs, yeah.
Peace, love, and drugs and stuff like that. Then you have these sadists who are forced sex and hard, like, drugs of, like, I think heroin is what he had his son on.
Yeah, heroin.
So I don't know if that was his intention, but it's like seeing two different versions of, like, sex and drugs.
Yeah.
Like
sides of the coin, yeah.
Yeah, so I just thought, I don't know. That's what I was getting from it, because I was thinking about it as I was watching it. Or maybe I'm just getting too deep with it. But yeah, I agree with you. A little much for me. I mean, yeah. And I,
it's like, oh.
But that could also have been his point, like, to show, like, to the point is to make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. And he got there, yeah.
And he got there. So, because it's weird, because I can watch a movie like Saw or Terrifier and feel, oh yeah, not much, not too much for me. This is fine, but.
You do have to kind of give this movie this credit that it can make us feel this uncomfortable being from 72, that people in 2025 feel uncomfortable watching this movie. It's like,
In the forest, there is no like when I say they humiliate and rape them, it's not like, oh, they made them take their top off and then you just hear it. No, you see that they make them get fully naked,
yeah.
and they're all like touching on. I mean, you're gonna have to give kudos to the actresses
Yeah.
because the actresses had to be there butt naked in the forest, touched on by. You know, the other actors and all that. Moving on from the torture thing, what about the kills? What did you think of the actual, now the revenge thing, which I thought was weirder, took less time than the torture.
Yeah.
And it happened fairly quickly.
Yeah,
Like,
it took a little fast.
I think this movie has a little bit of pacing issues because you had
Yeah.
like 20 to 25 minutes of the torture, and then there the very next scene, they're just at the parents' place.
Yeah, then it's like 15 minutes of them, just mingling with the parents. And then what, another, the last 15 minutes of the revenge?
Like if like I'd say like as the last 10 minutes was the revenge and like it was like 10 minutes of mingling and then like 10 minutes of revenge.
Yeah.
Because this movie's 80 minutes long, I think. Oh no, it's like an hour and 20, I think. Yeah, 80 minutes. Yeah, 80 minutes. Look, man.
That'd
Leave me alone, all right?
Yeah, but the revenge was pretty cool. I like the electrocution booby trap he set.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty clever.
Like, the parents were out in numbers, but they just outsmarted them, kind of separated everybody, and then.
This is also something that's different than the remake is that when they found her, when they found Mary's body, she's dead.
Yeah.
She did not come back. In the remake,
She's alive, yeah.
maybe they thought that's too intense for a mainstream audience, but she like managed to
Swim across the lake, yeah.
swim across the lake, and then the parents found her on the porch, and that's when they took him out.
Yeah. And
But
I think in the remake, Junior helps the parents too. Like he's kind of
yes.
like, yeah, I really don't want to be a part of like these people, and I didn't want to do any of this, yeah.
Yes, they definitely took away, they might have added a little bit more gore in the deaths, but they did take away a lot of the movie's teeth in terms of like, in this movie, yeah, she's dead. And Junior, I don't care if he was like the least violent. That dude's shooting himself in the head. He's like he might not want to have been there, but he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course the bumbling cops show up at the very end. He's
Yeah.
like, "Oh my God, what'd you guys do?" He's
After the
like,
parents did their job for him to care of these criminals, that's how they let him escape from jail.
"What did you guys do?" "Your job."
Right. Your job. Yeah.
And essentially, so those are the big points of the movie. Unless there's any other scenes, particular scenes that you want to touch on.
No, I think we hit about all the major scenes in this movie.
Well, I already told you what my favorite scene of the movie was, and that was the jumping between them in the hotel and the parents.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I thought that was a good tension builder, which I think he should have kept that in it, but lose the cops.
Yeah.
What about for you? Is there a particular scene or kill?
Probably the dude getting his dick bit off. Like, that's just like the worst way
Oh,
to go, dude.
that's what I wanted to talk about real quick. Speaking of the fellatio, so the wife takes Weasel out by the pool or by the lake, and she's, you know, dude's coming on to her, and at this point she knows that this guy helped kill
Her
her
daughter.
daughter, so. She seduces him, makes him pull down his pants, and performs fellatio on him, and then bites his penis off. You know, because she had his hands like tied behind his back.
Yeah.
She didn't need to service him a little bit. You know,
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the dad. Like, I took out so and so by I took out this guy by with a chainsaw, and I took out the other guy with a gun. How'd you take out this guy? Well, I blew him first. What? Like I know that she, I was like, you know, you had him dead to rights. You could have just like sliced it off. You didn't have,
Yeah.
because she serviced him for like a good like maybe 15 seconds
Yeah.
before.
Oh man.
I for me
I guess you just want to take them to the ultimate high, just bring them all the way down.
which it was just, I'm just, I don't know. I'm finding humor where I can in an uncomfortable movie,
Yeah.
and so I'm just imagining them talking about it afterwards, and the dad's like, I took out this guy with the chainsaw, this guy so and so. How'd you take out the other guy over by the pool? Well, I went down on him first. What?
What? You don't even go down on me. The hell?
You didn't even go down on me. What are you talking? You did it to the guy who helped kill our daughter. Yeah, but then I bit it, bit it out. Yeah, but why'd you go all that way first?
Yeah.
That is a rough way to go to get your Johnson bit off, and your hands are tied behind your back. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
All you can do is just kind of sit there and think about what you've done.
Yeah.
So,
Think about your
anyway,
life choices that put you in that position.
think about your life choices. Okay. Anyway, so that's Last House on the Left. I kind of like this. I
Yeah.
think this flowed a little bit better. But let's go ahead and break this baby down.
All right. So for technicals, for only having a budget of what was it, 90,000?
90,000, and I think most of this stuff was like handheld. It definitely looked like most of these were like handheld
Yeah.
camera shots.
For being from the 70s, 72, and the budget of 90,000, technically it shot pretty well in my opinion. So I went with the 7.
I gave it a 5.8.
5.8,
I
okay.
gave it, because I also add audio into this as well, and I think the audio choices, especially with the music, definitely took away from the bumbling, like the zany music. While I understand, I don't think it gelled. And again, we are judging this, as his earlier work, but I still gotta judge it anyway.
Yeah.
This was before he, found his craft.
Yeah.
The fact that it is handheld does make it look a little bit more film snuffy, which is to its credit. But it's not the best shot in the world, but for what it was, I think 5.8's fair.
Okay.
It's kind of like, five means it's competent, but nothing super special. And I just gave it a couple points ahead of that, above that.
Yeah. Now, story, it you could follow stories enough. It's decently told story, but needlessly having the cops in here hurts the story for me.
It does.
And that's why I gave it a 5.7.
You're being a lot more generous to my pick than I am. I gave it a 5.1.
Five one.
It has some pacing issues.
Yeah.
You have the torture scene, which lasts a little bit too long, in my opinion. I think if they got rid of the cops during that whole thing, it would have been fine. But then once they get to the house, it's like somebody hit the fast forward button and this thing was going like very, very quickly. I think that they could have milked. I'll say that the scenes that they would have lost from the cops, they should have added to them mingling with the parents.
Yeah.
And that would have made it way more tense to have them like talking with the parents, have them, interacting with them, and then you get the aha moment. It just felt like it was fast in some places and slower in other places when I think it should have been flipped.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
And as you and me said, I know we said it like a billion times, but yes, fucking get rid of those cops, please.
This cops are a movie, basically. All right. Now, enjoyment. I don't have a good time watching this movie. It's not a movie I'd instantly turn off, per se, if it was happened to be on. But I feel like I never would go out of my way to rewatch this movie. And that's why I gave it a 5.3.
I gave it a 5.4.
5.4? All right.
I did take into account that it's supposed to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that is the intent. So I won't knock at any points for intending to make somebody feel uncomfortable if that was why it was shot the way it was shot. I did think that, like we said, it was a little much with the torture in terms of, I mean, you could have told the same thing but cut down on a little bit of the stuff. But I understand why it's in there.
Yeah.
Would I watch it again? It depends what part of the movie it's on. It's not.
Past the wood scenes, then.
If it's past the woods, because I genuinely like when they're back at the parents' place.
Yeah.
Once it's there, I'm like, okay. And I genuinely like the scene in the hotel room.
Yeah. It's just that middle section where it's like.
I'm not gonna go out of my way to re-watch it again, but yeah, I think 5.4. That's what I gave it.
All right, so you gave it a total score of 16.3 out of 30. I gave it 18 out of 30. So its score is a 17.15 out of 30.
I wouldn't say it's not a bad movie, but it is an interesting watch to see where Wes Craven started.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a it's a movie that I understand why it's like revered.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, yeah, better left in the 70s.
And there is something to be said about a shock and awe movie, and people want to go, well, I kind of want to see what this guy does in another movie. It's kind of like Terrifier. Like, when Terrifier came out, it's like, wow, this guy went all out. I still haven't seen the third one. It's still on my list.
Maybe, but Terrifier 2 did introduce, like, probably one of my favorite newer, like, final girls. In
Sienna?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Sienna.
Yeah.
She's definitely, when it comes to, like, horror movies, she's definitely one of my, one that I crush on.
Yeah.
I think she's cute. But, you know, we've done all the Black Christmases, you know, we're going to need one for the holidays.
Yeah. Might be Terrifier 3.
All right. Let's go to your entry. Let's lighten the mood a little. We talked about rape and drugs stuff. Let's lighten the mood with with Satan.
Yeah. All right. Now time for The Omen.
Yes.
This follows an American diplomat named Robert Thorne and his wife, I believe her name's Catherine. So they're living in Rome. She's having a baby. Baby dies. Sad.
Oh.
Random person comes up and says, hey, there's this baby just born, and his mother died and has no family, so why don't you just take this baby instead?
Let's just not tell your wife.
Yeah. Super sketchy adoption going on there. I guess when in Rome, right?
When in Rome. Ba-dum-tuh.
And then you cut to, they name him Damien. So then it jumps to 5 years later where they move to the UK, and then shit hits the fan.
Yep. We kind of speed through the first, like, 5 years of life with this kid.
Yeah. There's really not much to talk about. Until they get to his fifth birthday party, where his nanny, mid-birthday party, is on a balcony and says, for you, Damien, and then hangs herself.
Worst birthday ever.
Yeah. Just like, Jesus Christ. Okay. And then this new nanny just comes out of nowhere. Her name is Mrs. Blaylock. The parents are both like, oh, we didn't call you. She's like, oh, I was sent here.
She's like Mary Poppins.
Yeah. So you guys don't have to worry about it. Yeah, she's not a good person. She also brings in a dog to protect Damien.
Nice of her.
Yeah. Because, you know, she's protecting what we come to find out is the Antichrist.
The Antichrist.
And, you know, one point in time, they're going to the church, and Damien just freaks out, doesn't want to go in. So they decide, oh, all right, we don't have to let him go in the church or whatnot. And then this is the part of the movie that kind of bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Is there's a Father Brennan.
Yes.
That a lot of this movie could have been avoided if he spoke like a normal person.
Yeah, we'll the priest is pretty intense, and he's definitely, like, in my notes of stuff to talk about after the summary.
Yeah. He comes up, he's like, you need to eat the body of Christ and drink his blood.
So you need to accept the Lord.
Yeah. He's gonna kill his siblings and your wife.
What playing the pronoun game, you need to, or she's in danger, he is evil, playing the pronoun game. Like,
she's like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? Get this weird dude away from me. And then Catherine gets pregnant again, and Damien ain't standing for that shit. He knocks her off a banister, causes a miscarriage. And there's been this weird photographer kind of following him around, taking photos of him. He kind of shows the photos to Robert, along with news clippings and Bible passages suggesting of the coming Antichrist.
Oh, and at this point, the priest dies.
A lightning rod falls on him?
Yeah, lightning rod. He gets caught in a storm. Lightning rod falls off of a church and then impales him. He dies.
Yeah. Gruesome death.
Nasty way to go.
So, Robert's wife's in the hospital. Him and Keith just decide to head off to Rome. We're going to figure this out.
Yeah, shit's going weird over here. Animals are acting weird.
Yeah. You know, he knocks off the banister, his mother takes him to, like, a drive-in safari zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And the animals are all freaking out.
They gotta be thinking, this has never happened before when we took him to the zoo.
Right, yeah. And they go, and they try to find who is the mother of the child he adopted.
Yeah, 'cause all they knew at the time was that she had no family.
Yeah.
So nobody was going to miss the child when they did the old switcheroo when
Yeah.
he was born.
Then they find the guy that did this old switcheroo, Father Spoleto, who is,
Rough.
yeah, severely burned, mute, blind in one eye, partially paralyzed. But he directs them to the cemetery where Damien's mother is buried. In that grave, they find a jackal carcass, and on the next plot, a child skeleton with a shattered skull.
And
That's.
then, yeah, then you come to a realization that no parent wants to find out.
Yeah, that they actually murdered Robert's kid so that he would raise the Antichrist.
Yeah, so we got some cult shit going on.
Yeah.
So he wasn't just some random target.
No, being a diplomat, being a person of power, is definitely someone you target to raise the Antichrist, family of
Yeah.
wealth and influence.
Yeah, the Antichrist is gonna grow into being able to be a person of influence and power, and so yeah, that's a tough realization to find out.
Yeah. So Robert calls Catherine in the hospital and tells her, like, hey, I'm gonna send someone to get you.
You gotta get out of here.
You gotta come to Rome. And before that happened, Miss Blaylock throws Catherine out the hospital window. She dead.
Yeah, mom's having a rough time.
Yeah. And then they meet Carl Bugenhagen. Old Boogs is like, hey, if he's a true Antichrist, he's gonna have a birthmark of 666 on him. It'll probably be under some hair.
So keep a lookout. If you find that mark, then I mean, all of this might just be coincidence, but that 666 will be the surefire way to tell if he's the Antichrist.
Yeah, and it gives them some daggers to kill him with, to kill him on hallowed ground.
It's a lot to ask of someone. If you find out that your son happens to be the Antichrist, here's some ritual knives.
Yeah, go ahead and take care of that for the world.
Yeah, go ahead and take one, lay on this grenade for us.
Yeah, Robert's not really feeling that, but Keith's trying to convince him. And in some final destination sequence of events, Keith gets decapitated.
Yeah, that was kind of Final Destination-y.
Yeah, and it kind of pushed Robert. He's like, okay, I will go and check and see. Let me check and see if I can find this birthmark. And
Let me just check.
yeah, and while he's checking his son for the birthmark, he gets attacked by Mrs. Blaylock, kills her.
Yeah, she's fired.
Yeah, she dead.
Should have been fired a long time ago.
Yeah,
So
and
now he's got a decision to make.
yeah, so he grabs up Damien. Throws in the car and starts driving towards towards the cathedral. And on his way, once again, it's the cops. They start chasing him. And Robert drags Damien into the cathedral. And as he's about to dagger Damien, cops bust in and do what cops probably should do in that situation and shoot Robert.
Well, I'll get into it in a minute.
I'm just saying that's probably what a cop should do if a man is about to stab a child.
Yeah, I know,
They don't
but
have the whole context of everything, but yeah.
I know, but I've never seen a horror movie in which the cops do the right thing.
Yeah, and the first time they do the right thing, it's actually the wrong thing. Yeah.
Yes.
And the last scene is a double funeral, which is attended by the US president, who was friends with Robert and the first lady. It's basically, I think, implied that Damien is adopted by the president.
And not some lowly diplomat anymore, the president.
The president, yeah. And that is the Omen.
But you gotta figure he probably did that to like get good ratings or to
Yeah.
get like good popular amongst the polls.
Yeah, like, where's that? My best friend died. And I adopted his son.
Aren't I such a good person? Yeah, and that's the Omen. Real quick, just as a cool little thing, this is kind of a teaser for our next double feature, but the director directed Superman with Christopher Reeves.
Did he? Okay.
And this movie had a budget of $2.8 million. So, taking that into account, because now we're going to be comparing the two movies, because you had one who was a $90,000 budget and from someone's first foray into this big budget horror, and then you have or a big screen horror, and then you have a
What?
seasoned director with a bigger budget.
Yeah, he also directed Lethal Weapon movie.
Yeah.
So good. And Goonies.
Oh, he directed Goonies?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this guy. Oh, what's his name? Off the top of my head, I can't remember.
I'm looking at his Wikipedia right now. It is Richard Donner.
Richard Donner, yeah. Dude's directed a lot of my favorite movies. So, now, you said you hadn't seen it for...
It's been a long time, yeah.
And what was your thoughts, like, now that some time has passed?
It's slow.
Mm-hmm.
At times. But you also get that with, like, The Exorcist, so I feel like that's just kind of, like, the time of the movies we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you recently watched Exorcist, you know at times it could be a little slow.
Yeah, I did feel the time on The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Not as much for me, personally, on this one.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I...
Not as much, but it's still, like, a little long, but...
I think it's definitely better paced than, like, Last House on the Left.
Oh, definitely better paced.
They breeze through, like, the first, like, couple years of Damien's life.
Yeah.
But that's not the important part. No. So you can do that.
Yeah.
But I still, after this, I'll say that I still think I prefer The Omen over The Exorcist. And I think it's probably because the focus isn't necessarily on Damien, it's on his dad.
Yeah.
Like, Damien's there, but, I mean, you can't really center it too much or have Damien have too much screen time because the kid's, like, 5.
Yeah.
Linda Blair was, like, at least in her teens.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't think that, you know... And then when we do see Damien a lot, he's either crying or throwing a temper tantrum. Basically, which is...
He's being a 5-year-old kid, yeah.
He's being a 5-year-old kid.
Who's also the Antichrist, yeah.
Who is also the Antichrist.
Yeah, and I feel like the effects... kind of aged a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not so bad that it's like, oh, why did they do that? No, it's just like, oh.
I think I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to compare the horror scenes. They're definitely more intense in Last House.
Yeah.
This one is more about tension building.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, you're following this father and you're trying to uncover this thing too, like... Yeah. Well, you know you're going to see a movie called The Omen, so you're like, okay, you want to uncover this mystery?
Yeah, exactly.
And you want to know, is like part of you is also thinking, okay, does Damien know he's the Antichrist? Is he like evil, or is he a kid and all this stuff is happening like around him?
Yeah, and he doesn't know why. Yeah,
because he is just a kid. I'll have to say this because this is in my notes. There's no way I would have let that nanny even in the house.
Right.
She doesn't come off as a nanny that is like, oh, yes, I'm here for your... The nanny comes off as like day one, she's already telling the mom, like, I don't think that you should take your son to church. I'm just going to leave him here. Like, this is my son. Like, you work for us.
Like, yeah, she comes off, like, combative, like, very, like, trying to tell the parents how to raise their kids day one. Like, I'm like, yeah, you're fired. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, you're fired. Get out of here. No, yeah. Who sent you? What agency sent you?
Right.
Like, oh no, I just showed up. Like I said, like Mary Poppins. I just showed up.
Like neither one of the parents said, thought, hey, maybe we should call the agency that we get our nannies to make sure they actually sent this weird woman to our house.
Yeah, plus this guy's a diplomat. Like yeah. He like you're not gonna do any background checks.
Right.
Even at some point he goes, where did you find her? Oh, I thought you found her. Okay, so we both established that neither of us know who this woman is.
Right.
We're not.
This movie is made, like, the time it takes place is during the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
Which had a lot of spies. So if neither one of you hired her, being an American diplomat, you should probably be like, oh,
she's a risky.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's just like, oh, okay, whatever. Agency center, cool. What?
Oh, so what agency sent you, comrade?
Right. Oh.
So, yeah, and you would think that if your job is, if you're part of this Antichrist cult, you would think, okay, I want to be here at all times. I need to be as warm as possible. I need to be as agreeable as possible so that I can stay near the Antichrist because I love my Antichrist and I want to make sure that I, you know, that I'm around him. So I will just be very, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and, you know, slaughter goats when they're, like, asleep.
Exactly.
You know, but not
no,
just,
she was not like that. She was just like, I'm going to do things my way. You guys just get away from this kid.
just like wants to get fired.
Right.
Like it's kind of like the end of Speak No Evil. And it's like, why are you doing all this? Because you let me.
Right.
Because she pushed the wife out the window. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, you let me get this far.
Right. Like, all right. Time to
Before we break it down, you wanted to comment on the priest.
It's just like all his lines were like, he spoke so weirdly, where it's like someone like me who grew up in a Catholic church, like being raised Catholic, even I'd like, I think I'm going to go to a different church with a different father.
Well, he didn't even know this father. I feel
comfortable taking confession by you, yeah.
I don't even knew who this father was. This priest just showed up in his office one day.
Yeah.
And was like, you need to drink the blood of Christ. You need to accept Christ in your heart.
Yeah.
Security.
Like a religious zealot.
Yes. It's like, security.
Yeah.
But yes, if he'd have just talked like a normal person, like you said, like yeah. Even if the guy didn't believe you, you would at least be able to get what you need to say out.
Yeah. You could have had a conversation instead of just spewing religious nonsense at him and him be like, leave me alone, dude.
Sir, there was a reason, like, I know that you're, that's not your real son that you were given to him at birth. There's a reason. You need to know about this cult that, like, who killed your son and swapped him.
Swapped him with the Antichrist, yeah.
You know, not just, yeah, like you said, just playing the pronoun game, like, he's evil, she's in danger. Like, okay, dude.
Right.
Bye. Like, this movie is all about people acting way too intense.
Right.
Okay. Before we break down, do you have a scene of the movie? I can do mine if you need a second to think.
I think it's just, like, the tension in the graveyard scene, where they're, like, burying out the bodies and stuff, and, like, these Rottweilers are all starting to surround them.
For me, when I think about this movie, other than the It's All For You, Damien hanging scene...
Yeah, I didn't want to go with the obvious one. It was that one, like,
yeah, the scene that sticks out to me the most is the ending, where he's driving his son to the church, and because in my mind when I was first watching this, I was like, "Is this movie gonna have the balls to kill a kid?"
Yeah,
I was like, "Is this movie gonna have the stones to have this guy take his son into church and stab this kid in church?"
Yeah,
I mean, they already showed that his first kid was murdered. But then, you know, cops come in and pop, 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 and then you're like, ugh.
Like, you guys couldn't beat the incompetent cops from the last house on the left, and then we would have had the Antichrist killed. But no, you guys have to be good at your jobs.
Yeah, good job, officers. You just doomed all of humanity.
Yeah. I know it's not really your fault, but still.
I know, and I know that's like, you want to see that happen. Like, if you were any other person, you would be like, yes, we see this guy about to like look like ritualistically sacrifice a kid in church. Yes, I'm shooting this dude.
Yeah. Any other time, completely acceptable. This time, you guys fucked up.
You should have swapped the cops. Yeah. Swap the cops and have the ones doing their job in Last House on the Left and Bumbling Cops here. Then all of this tragedy could have been avoided.
Yeah. Then we could have avoided, like, the sequels of this movie that I heard weren't good.
Yeah, I heard that, too. I've not seen the sequels, but I have no real interest in seeing the sequel.
Me either, yeah.
And I don't know if the last one was a remake.
I think, what was it, the first Omen that came out last year? I think that is a prequel.
Well, I'll stick with this one since,
yeah. You
know. Yeah, we can go ahead and break down now.
All right. So, for technicals, like I said, it shot, you know, fairly well. A little dated, but still shot fairly well, so it's 6.3.
I gave it a 7.
7? Okay.
This one was definitely, in my opinion, better paced. You can tell that this guy had some previous directing experience.
Yeah.
The budget shows, I technically, the music was appropriate for the movie.
That's true, yeah.
So, when I think something is done competently and well and stuff like that, usually 7 is my go-to for, like, done good, done well. I don't really have any notes in terms of a technical aspect.
Yeah. All right, story. Went ahead and gave it a 6.2. It's a little slow, but it's a competently told story. Does really well at building the tension, so Figure 6.2 is good.
I gave it a 7.1.
7.1.
I think in terms of a story, it knows, to me, I didn't feel the time.
Yeah.
It knew what parts can be kind of glossed over, like the beginning couple years with Damien, and which parts needed a little more time. In terms of horror, I say that this, the horror and this is the suspense.
Exactly, yeah. It's closer to a suspense movie than a paranormal possession movie.
So in terms of a suspense, which I think it does very well,
yeah,
and that's what's working for it, I gave it a 7.1.
Okay. Enjoyment, like I said, I felt the time a little bit, but still fairly enjoyable movie, so I went 6.5.
Okay. And enjoyment, I also gave a 7.1.
7.1.
I think I mentioned it before. The reason why I like this, I think, a little more than The Exorcist is because even though demon movies and possession movies are not really my go-to, and it's not even because I, too, was raised Catholic.
Yeah.
And the Catholic Church is, you know, I'm not devout, but it's, like, in my life to an extent. Yeah. It doesn't bug me, movies like this, but for some reason, it's not usually my go-to. But for something that's not my go-to, and I can still enjoy it, 7.1. And I think that the fact that it's based around the dad rather than the kid.
It was a good choice, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good choice.
All right, so you gave it a total score of 21.2 out of 30. I gave it a 19 out of 30, so a 20.1 out of 30.
Yeah, I knew that right after I watched Last House on the Left, I was like, well, Dave won this one.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind because I got to see Wes Craven's first movie, and I got to rewatch a movie that I kind of like anyway.
Yeah. I think it's funny that I gave higher scores to your movie, and then you gave higher scores to my movie.
Hey, sometimes them's the breaks.
Yeah.
I took a gamble because I'd never saw Last House on the Left, and even when you said The Omen, when you gave it to as your choice, I was like, in my mind, I was like, Dave's probably going to win this one because I remember liking The Omen. But that does bring us to what our next round of verses is going to be.
Our next round of verses is going to be remake.
And we're one for one.
One for one, yeah. One and one. All right.
All right, so remake. It's going to take me a second.
No, I'm not going to do that to you.
What were you going to do?
I was about to say the thing. Pick your movie.
That's a prequel.
Your favorite movie. Yeah.
That's a prequel, not a remake.
No, the 1970 thing is a remake from a thing from outer space.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Mary Elizabeth Winstead movie. I was like, no. I thought you thought that was a remake. I was like, no, that's a... I was hesitating because... Plus, we've already talked about the thing.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to do movies that we haven't talked of either.
Yeah, same here. Like,
because the thing would have been my pick, but...
Yeah, I would have felt bad picking your favorite movie. The mess up move.
A good remake. Because usually the ones that come to mind are shitty ones.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? And it might be risky, but I'm willing to talk about it.
Okay.
The Evil Dead remake. Not the Evil Dead Rise, but the one that came before it.
Okay.
I don't think we've talked about that one really.
No, we did Evil Dead Rises, so.
But we didn't do the one that came. I don't know exactly what year that came out.
2013.
Okay, so that's going to be mine, the 2013. I know that kind of divides some people, so I'm going to go ahead and say Evil Dead 2013.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to do The Ring.
So what, the American remake?
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, we already did.
If that counts for you, I mean.
I was going to say, well, we've already had...
We did the original.
No, I mean, we've done The Ring. I thought we did The Ring. Oh, is that foreign horror?
Yeah, you did the original Ring. This is the remake.
Oh, I thought we were, like, just excluding Japanese. Oh, well, this would be American, I guess.
Yeah, it's a remake.
Fair enough. Okay. If you want to do The Ring.
You know what? No, I'm going to go with the movie... That doesn't get a lot of love, but I do enjoy. I'm going to go with The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Okay. And do you know, A, when it came out and when the original was?
I have to check. The remake came out in 2014. I'm not sure about the original. It was in the 70s, though.
I just thought of two. Like if I was ahead by two... like if I was in the lead and we weren't like on a tiebreaker kind of thing right now, I would have said A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh God. Just torture me.
Just to talk about it,
Yeah,
because
the
I'm one of
original
the.
came out in 1976.
Because I am one of the few people who don't flat out hate the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm one of the few people who will actually. Not, I'm not saying it's a great movie, but I'm one of the few that actually like will say a nice thing or two about it.
Yeah, like Jackie Earl Haley had some killer lines,
He was a
but
good
he
pick.
was fucked with the CGI
If it
and how they
wasn't
made him look.
for the way they made his face look, I think he was a good pick.
Yeah,
You know,
but
maybe one of these days I'll be able to have it as a review to not necessarily. I don't like being the guy, like I'm not sitting here wanting to defend it, but I don't know, but then again, it's been years since maybe I'd watch it again and be like, oh no, this movie's awful.
yeah.
All right, so it's the Town That Dreaded Sundown versus the Evil Dead Remake 2013.
Yeah.
All right, and I have not seen the Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Either one?
Neither.
Oh man.
So I have no idea what kind of movie it is. It could be a zombie movie, it could be a vamp, it could be a ghost movie. I have no idea.
Yeah, they're decent movies that just
Okay.
don't get talked about a lot. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be
All
treats
right.
for later.
Yeah. All right, everyone. I appreciate you guys listening. Have a good week, everybody.